think we will find the answer to the question of how God produces this kind of person. In Romans chapter 6, we find the answer of how we become a new, in quality, kind of person. How we are made a new creation in Christ. How new things are now coming to pass because old things have been put away or have gone away. God makes us a new, in quality, kind of person. And the approach that we're going to use as we look at Romans chapter 6 is this. We're going to see that there's something that we have to leave. And secondly, we're going to see that there's somewhere we have to enter. And third, we're going to see that there is somewhere that we have to stay. So, number one, there's somewhere that we've got to leave. Number two, there's somewhere we've got to enter. And number three, there's somewhere we've got to stay. And I think with those three ideas, we will develop from Romans chapter 6 the point that we're trying to make here, the question that we're trying to answer of how God makes a new in quality person. Number one, there is somewhere that we've got to leave. There's got to be a separation. And that separation is from sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 tell us, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? There's got to be a leaving of sin. There's got to be a separation from sin. In the previous chapter, Romans 5, the grace of God had been stressed. In fact, the grace of God is stressed in chapter 5 to the degree that man would come to the realization that there is nothing that I, in and of myself, can do to merit or earn salvation. There's nothing that I, in and of myself, can do to deserve salvation. That it's through the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. It's His grace. And His grace shows just how great God really is. Now, it might be easy for someone under those kind of circumstances to misunderstand something. In fact, it would appear from what we're reading in the first two verses of chapter 6 that a misunderstanding is already being addressed. Because it might be possible that someone could convince themselves, and with the deception of Satan being an element in that as well, that if I sin more, then God has to give even more grace. And that would show even how greater God is. So the more sin I have, the more grace God would have to use, thereby showing how much greater God is. And yet that's a mistaken idea. That's a deception that comes from Satan. And so after explaining all this about grace that we read in chapter 5, remember this wasn't divided into chapters and verses like we have it, but after the explanation of grace, to kind of preempt that kind of misunderstanding, the next thing the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to write is, so, should we continue in sin? Should we abound in sin? Should we keep on sinning that grace may abound? More sin, more grace. So the more I sin, the more grace God gives, the greater God is. Well, the answer to that is emphatically, absolutely not. In fact, verse 2, some translations say, God forbid. The idea behind the language in chapter 2 is certainly not. Absolutely not. And from what I understand, the language there is emphatic. That this is not the direction that we take the grace of God. We don't sin more to achieve more grace. We don't sin more to get more grace. No, that's the opposite of what our Christianity ought to be. There's something that we've got to leave. How does God make me a new in quality person? How does God turn me into a new creature, a new creation? Well, first of all, I've got to leave I've got to separate myself from sin. And so the question, you know, that could be a misunderstanding developing from the grace of God, the great grace of God, the unlimited grace of God, the question that's addressed here that preempts the misunderstanding is, don't keep on sinning to get more grace. Absolutely not. Why? Because we died to sin. We died to sin. We left sin because we, verse 2 says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? How shall we keep committing sin because we died to sin? You see, the text is telling us that how this happens is obviously because we're trying to turn away from sin based on the grace of God. I think there's some implied things here that it's not just about more sin to get more grace, but it's about how I am trying to live and walk righteously to be a new person, and I am made a new quality person. You keep reading in the text here, because I have died to sin, and I died to sin when I was baptized in Christ. Keep reading verse 3. Or do you not know? Again, answering the obvious, trying to preempt a misunderstanding. Don't you remember, don't you know, that as many of us as were baptized, immersed is the literal word, plunging beneath the surface of the water, as many of you as were immersed into Christ Jesus were immersed into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him through immersion into death. You see, I die to sin. And I die to sin just like Christ died. And so I am immersed in the waters of baptism, the waters of immersion, at that point. Now, I think obviously it's preceded by a couple of things. It's not just that that a person walks into a facility or up to a body of water and is plunged beneath that surface and says, boom, it's over. There's obviously a few things logically, spiritually, that are going to precede this death to sin. Number one, a person's got to have faith in this whole ideology. A person must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died on the cross for my sins in my place. So I've got to believe in Jesus Christ. I've got to believe that He was the Son of God, and I've got to believe that He died on the cross. And then I've got to understand that I have sinned. You know, it's very hard to save someone who doesn't think he's lost. But once I realize that I'm lost, once I realize that I'm lost because of my sin, and the only answer is in Jesus Christ, well, there's something else that's going to precede this. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to believe all this. I'm going to understand all this to be the truth. And then I'm going to turn from my sin. The Bible talks explicitly in many places about repentance, a change of heart that creates a change of mind, that results in a change of action, belief, and behavior. That's repentance. That's changing my mind, changing my life, changing my heart, changing my behavior. And so, all of that is preceded by, though, that I understand I have sin. I understand that Jesus is the answer to my sin problem, because I can't solve it myself, but Jesus can. So I believe in Jesus. I understand I have sin. Now I want to do something about it. I want to get rid of the sin. Remember, this point is talking about leaving somewhere. I'm separating myself. I'm leaving sin. And the text says that there are people who died to sin when they were immersed in Christ. You see, when I am immersed in the name of Jesus Christ, there is where my death to sin kind of reaches its culmination. I have believed that I have sinned. I have believed that Jesus is the answer to my sin problem, that He can solve it because I can't. I believe those things. I have seen the necessity, the need to repent, to turn from sin, to live a better life, to live a different life, to quit sinning, to quit going that direction, and to start going in the opposite direction, away from God, to God. I've seen all of those things, but there's got to be something that cleanses me from the sin. That's baptism. In fact, that's what Acts 22:16 tells us. In Acts 22:16, the man who wrote this, Paul, before he became a Christian, was a man who had sin. And there's a man in Acts 22 named Ananias who is preaching the gospel to him. And he, through his preaching, and Paul, through his listening and understanding, comes to understand that he is a sinner himself. He's lost. And he needs to be saved. And that the only solution to that is through Jesus. And so when Ananias comes to the crescendo, you might say, of the lesson, he says, and now, Acts 22:16, and now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, be immersed, washing away your sin. Die to sin. Leave sin. Arise and leave sin and be immersed in the name of Jesus, Romans 6, coming back to this text, corresponding to Acts 22:16. Have faith in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Understand your own sins. Accept that you are a sinner. And believe that Jesus Christ is the only answer to your problem. And when you come to that point, then you're ready to die to sin. And the Bible tells us very clearly in Romans 6 that when we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into His death, and we were washed of our sins. And so we have now left sin. You know, the old commentators and the old preachers used to say that there are three important changes that occur when you become a Christian. We'll not elaborate on these tremendously, but number one, there is a change of heart. There's a change of heart. Acts 15, verse 9, talks about the cleansing of the hearts of the Gentiles when they obeyed the gospel. So number one, there's a change of heart. You see, we're talking about leaving sin when we become a Christian, when we become that new in quality person. There's a change of heart. Number two, there's a change in life. There's a change in life. I don't live the way that I used to live. I now live not for self, but for Jesus. And number three, there is a change in status, a change in state, a change in who I am. I am no longer who I used to be. I am now who God wants me to be. I am no longer the sinner. I am now a Christian. Why? Because I left sin. You see, for me to become a new in quality person, there is something that I have to leave. The Bible tells me in Romans chapter 6 that I have to leave sin. But now, secondly, we are going to see from this text that there is now somewhere that I need to enter. I leave sin, but now I'm going to enter somewhere else. As we keep looking, let's read verses 3 and 4 again. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Do you not know that as many of you as were immersed into Christ Jesus were immersed into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him. And that little phrase, buried with Him, obviously shows this is an immersion. Therefore, we are buried with Him through immersion into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. You see, there's somewhere that I had to leave. And what I had to leave was sin and sinful desires and sinful self. But now there is somewhere, secondly, to be this new and quality person that I have to enter. It's not just enough to quit doing wrong. Now I've got to start doing right. Christianity is not just a religion of, I don't do these things. Christianity is a religion of, here is what I do. Now, there are things that I don't do, but here is what I do. It's not just, I left sin, and it stopped right there, but I left sin, and now what? I entered Christ. I entered the body of Christ. You see, there are four significant truths that are very clear from our text about baptism and where it results and what it results in. And we're talking about salvation. We're talking about leaving sin and entering salvation. We're talking about separating from sin and aligning ourselves with Christ. Salvation. We go from being lost to being found. From being lost to being saved. From being lost to being a Christian. And so, as you look at our text here, there are four very significant truths that are taught about what baptism does and how it enables us to enter where we need to be because we have left where we don't need to be. As you look at the text, number one, I want you to see that, baptism is into Christ. Baptism is into Christ. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus? There's your first significant fact. We are entering into Christ. The grace of God and the provision of God for my salvation enables me, once I obey it, to enter into Christ. You see, I'm entering into. Secondly, here's a second significant truth that comes from this text that helped make me a new in quality person because I've entered, number one, into Christ, and I've entered, number two, into His death. Baptism is into His death. When you look at the text, know you not that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death. So I am entering into Christ, but I'm also entering into His death. And the blessing and the benefit of that death is made available for me when I am baptized, when I am immersed. Notice, third, that the text tells us that we are buried in this process. You see, we have died to sin. Isn't that what the second verse says? How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? When something dies, you bury it. I have died to sin. My old self. And in verse 6, he talks about the old self. The old man. I bury that because I've died to it. And I died to it when I left sin and I entered into Christ and into His death. And now, number three, significant fact, I am buried in baptism with Him. I am immersed. The word that is translated in nearly all of our English Bibles as baptize or baptism or various forms thereof means literally to bury, to dip, to plunge beneath the surface. It means a burial. And that is very apropos considering the language that is being used here, the description that is being used here of death. That we have died to sin. Now we're buried in baptism. Not literally in a grave like when someone dies and you bury them in the ground in the cemetery. But we are buried literally in the waters of baptism, whether it be in a baptistry like what's behind me or in a creek or some other available source of water that is sufficiently deep enough to bury, to plunge, to dip beneath the surface of the person who is leaving sin and entering into the death of Jesus. Jesus was buried. I too must be buried.
Jesus was buried not for his sins, but I am for mine. Jesus was buried for my sins. Now I must leave sin and enter into Christ Jesus and into his death, and I am buried with him. And I want you to notice, fourth, significant fact about baptism here, about entering into this new place. Number one, I enter into Christ. Number two, I enter into his death. Number three, I am buried into that. And number four, I am baptized into my own spiritual death to sin. I don't literally die, but spiritually, symbolically, I die to sin. When we look at the text, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. You see, our death to sin is finalized when I am baptized into Christ. My death to sin is finalized when I am buried with Christ in baptism. That's when I die to sin. I have to have faith. I have to have determination. I have to have repentance in the forefront of my heart and mind. And I have to have obedience. And that obedience will ultimately bring me to the point of baptism, immersion. And I am immersed into Christ. I'm immersed into his death. I'm buried into that. And I am immersed into my own spiritual death. And when that happens, notice the text says, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death. All those words are very significant. Look at it. Buried with him through baptism into death. Now keep reading. Remember what the premise is here? We're trying to be new in quality. Keep reading. Verse 4. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in, what's the word? Newness of life. New, not in time, but in quality. You see, I have now left sin and entered into Jesus, his death, through baptism, and now I have newness of life. Newness. I am now that new in quality creature or creation that God wants me to be. Anyone who leaves sin and enters into Jesus through baptism will become the same thing. New in quality. You were a sinner, but not anymore. You were lost, but not anymore. You were a failure, but not anymore. You were condemned to hell, but not anymore. Because you have entered into the death of Jesus Christ and your own spiritual death to sin. And you have been raised like Jesus to walk in newness of life. The text continues on to tell us in verse 5, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been free from sin. Underline that verse in your Bible. Highlight it with a marker. Circle it. Memorize it. Because it tells us, I have left somewhere I don't belong, and now I have entered where God wants me to be. But now number three, major point number three, stay. Stay there. Number one is leave. Number two is enter. Number three is stay. Stay where the saved are. Once we are remade, once we are renewed, once we are restored, once we are revitalized, we need to stay that way. Once we are remade, we need to stay remade. And really, there are, in these next few verses, about four characteristics that I want to just click off to you somewhat quickly that identify the new life that we have in Christ. This new in quality person that we now are. And it's where we need to stay. We need to stay with it. We need to stay there. Don't re-enter sin. Remember, those who died, shall we sin that grace may abound? Absolutely not. We died to sin. Don't go back there. There's nothing there but death and misery and condemnation. Here, the Bible tells us are some characteristics of the new life that we have in Christ. Number one, here's a characteristic. We have a new freedom. We have a new freedom. Verse 7 that we just read a moment ago, we're free from sin. We have a new freedom. Number 2, we have a new fellowship. We have a new fellowship. We have fellowship with God. Romans 6, verse 11, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive in God, alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, we now have fellowship in Christ Jesus with God. We now have a fellowship with God. So we have a new freedom. We have a new fellowship. And number three, we have a new fruitfulness. We have a new fruitfulness. You see, in sin, oh, we did all kinds of things over there, and we created all kinds of problems, and we did all kinds of activities. But now we remember, number one, we left that. Number two, we entered into Jesus Christ, and we're going to stay there. And so we have replaced the bad with something good. Now we have a new fruitfulness. Romans chapter 6, if you will, look at verses 21 and 22. Romans 6, 21 and 22. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God. You see, there it is. There's the freedom. There's the fellowship. Having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you now have, in the fruitfulness, your fruit to holiness. And the end, everlasting life. You see, the fruit that we used to have, verse 21 says, is something that we are ashamed of. And the end of that is death. But now I have a fruit that is holiness. And the end thereof, the result of that is everlasting life. So I have a new freedom. I have a new fellowship. I have a new fruitfulness. And number four, I have a new future. I have a new future. Look at the last verse of the chapter. The wages of sin is death. But, aren't you glad that that chapter doesn't end? The wages of sin is death, and there's a period there. But, the gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus, my Lord. You see, anyone who leaves sin and enters into that relationship with Jesus Christ and stays there has a new future. You are now that new in quality person. Imagine you came home one day and someone had made everything in your house new. You had new carpet, new furniture, new paint on the walls, new light fixtures. Everything was new. New towels in the closet, new food in the pantry, new appliances in the kitchen. Everything was new. We would be absolutely ecstatic. We would be delighted. We would be so grateful and thankful. Probably to very few of us, if any of us in this room, will anything like that ever happen. And yet, the Bible is offering us here a chance at making everything new. Not physically, not materially, but spiritually, in your heart. You can have a new future. And you can walk into your spiritual house and everything is new. Be baptized into Christ. Leave sin, enter into Christ, and stay there. And would you do that this morning as we encourage you to come forward as we stand, we sing this song of invitation.